Welcome to show number 25 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is going on, everybody? Hopefully everybody is doing well out there, and if not, we are here to please you with a little bit of sports card news and information for your brain. Hopefully everything's going all right for everybody. We've got a fairly big show today. We're going to talk a little bit about news, some old news, but we haven't talked about it on this show, so in my case, it is new news. We'll be talking about the hobby products, or actually only the hobby product that should be released on the first week of March, and then there's tons coming after that, so we'll have lots of shows covering those, and you'll want to check out sportscardradio.com and the release calendar for all those needs. We're going to talk very briefly about taking a break from collecting and getting back into it. We have lots of collectors that are my age or a little bit older and collected when they were a kid and maybe stopped maybe when they went to college or they started working full-time and things like that, and they've gotten back into it, and it's always a good thing to touch back on that subject. So we will be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about overlooked players in the Major League Baseball. I was doing a mock draft for fantasy baseball the other day, and I, you know, not surprisingly, I didn't recognize a lot of names, but there were some names that I didn't know or I kind of knew, and their cards, I think, are somewhat undervalued for the kind of numbers they put up, at least in the position they go in fantasy baseball, because I feel that however you go in fantasy baseball, that has a very good judge on your talent, because stats are what it comes down to at the end of the day. If you don't have any of those jewelry rings on your finger. And last thing we will be talking about today, it is show number 25. We'll be running down three players that have some interest to us, and they were number 25, Fred Biletnikoff, Reggie Bush, and Jim Thome. We'll be covered on the back half of the show. All their autograph stuff, prices, and whatnot will be covered then. First thing is first, let's break it off with a little bit of news. Again, like I said, this is a little bit old news, but new news here, and we'll maybe swing it to the card angle. LeBron James entering the dunk contest. At least he verbally committed to himself. You never know what muscle or finger or baby gets born around next year's dunk contest that may force LeBron to back out of his commitment. But for now, LeBron says he's going to do it, and I could imagine that other players are going to step up to the plate. They're not going to watch LeBron do it and sit on the sidelines, more than likely. I can imagine we get some other big names. Maybe Dwight Howard will come back, and I'm sure Nate probably doesn't have much to do, so Nate will probably do it as well. So it might be a kind of interesting dunk contest. May or may not affect LeBron's cards. Obviously, if he does really well and he wins the game, a lot of people watch that. I know people that are non-basketball fans will watch the All-Star Weekend, or especially watch the dunk contest. That might be some of the only NBA they see all season is the dunk contest. So it's a premier event, and if you had LeBron in it and he was doing well, I could only imagine it'd do something for his cards. And just remember, especially with LeBron's rookies and his high-end stuff, you're buying high-dollar stuff, so the prices are going to swing very greatly depending on what LeBron's doing and kind of what the market's doing, you know, in terms of what they're paying for LeBron stuff. Because it is 03, 04, his rookies. In these days, that is old. You've had several rookie classes in multiple sports come out, so people have money to spend on other things, so LeBron really has to do well for his cards to go up, but they will go up. He's going to have a nice little playoff run probably here coming up in a couple months, so I could expect a nice little bump, but remember, they will swing wildly. You don't want to always buy on the upside of him because they're going to go down $20 to $30 in the offseason, sometimes more than that, and if the economy stays light, don't expect them to go up tremendous value, but that's the kind of risk you take when you're buying high-end stuff. You're taking the risk because you're either going to score big when the player starts playing well, or you're going to tank it when he kind of falls off the radar. But LeBron is a little bit safer bet, obviously, than most players. And if he does the dunk contest, that'd be interesting to see. And also, Brett Favre retires, and we'll put that in air quotes. We'll see if that ends up holding true, if he comes back either before the season starts or training camp, or when Tom Brady gets hurt or Carson Palmer gets hurt again, maybe he'll make a play for another team. Who knows? But for now, Brett's retired. Obviously, his stuff has probably held its value, maybe seen a slight bump. Brett stuff in the Jets uniform, somewhat interesting. There was only 1 year of it. I'm sure there's more that'll carry over at some point. But for now, you've only got 1 year of Brett Favre in the Jets uniform. I could imagine those will hold their value fairly. I don't see those tanking. Obviously, if you have a memorabilia piece like a Jets helmet or a Jets jersey, it's still probably fairly collectible. And going forward, it probably still will be in line with Packer stuff. But Packer stuff, I can imagine Brett Favre will at some point unite with the Packers again in some form relationship with them. And we'll see how that goes. So I can imagine Packers memorabilia should be pretty cool. That's about it for news. But after we come back from this very short break, we will be talking about hobby products and things you should keep an eye on this week in terms of that. We'll be back after this.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind?
And we are back. First thing is first, let's talk a little bit about our website, sportscardradio.com. I forgot to break this off in the beginning, but we have a fantasy baseball league starting. Head on over to Sports Card Radio. We have a new fan forum. You all need to sign up for it. If you're on the computer, on the iPhone, on the BlackBerry, there will be no excuse for you not to at least sign up and make some posts. And if you're interested in fantasy baseball, we have a league set up on Yahoo. Not all the rules and all that kind of stuff is set, but if you head over to sportscardradio.com, find the fan forum links. They're on the top and on the left-hand side. Sign up. You'll find the Baseball 09 little topic forum. Get all the information. The leaks through Yahoo. Sign your butt up and let's play some games. So just wanted to break that off before we get to the hobby product news. Everything released this week, there is only one product, but it cost as much as about three or four of them, so it's all good. So Exquisite Football comes out this week, and this is exquisite. That's all you need to say. Football, obviously the Matt Ryan and all the rookie jersey autographs, and obviously there'll be Brett Favre and legend autos out of this stuff. If you don't know too much about Exquisite, check it out. You know, we'll have some YouTubes up on Sports Card Radio. You'll see some previous years. And you'll see this year's. It releases the week of 3-2, I believe. Who knows? It may get pushed back. I doubt it. It looks like it would have been announced probably already if it was going to get pushed back. But sometime the first week of March, you'll be seeing this. There are no sticker autographs. It is a three-box case. You get seven cards and one pack, but they added something this year. All these boxes are hand-collated, so they're, you know, obviously the cards are printed on some kind of machine, but then actual people put the packs together and put the boxes together. So in that case, you're obviously going to have some home run boxes, but you're going to have less super dud boxes, which is good because you're paying a lot of money for this stuff. But there's three autographs or autographed jerseys, and there's two memorabilias, and you get one base, but this year they've added a special gold pack, and I can imagine these will be selling on eBay, with either an extra autograph or a jersey. So that's kind of interesting. If you kind of strike out on the seven cards, they're throwing you in a special gold pack where you get one extra autograph or jersey, and there'll probably be some interesting cards in there. I don't know specifically, but maybe there's only special cards you can get in the gold pack, or maybe it's just a mix of the base and autographs that are included in the regular pack. I don't know. Remains to be seen, but very interesting. So you actually get one extra hit this year in Exquisite, and it's pretty cool because it costs you $475 to $500 a box, at least in the beginning. If this stuff's flying off the shelves, expect to pay considerable, at least $100 more than that. And it's a three-box case, so you're looking at $1,400, $1,500 for a whole case of this joint. And there are case hits, so there is an advantage to plopping the whole $1,500 down. But if you have that kind of money, go ahead and do it. But singles, obviously, not everybody's in the $475, $500 range box. Not all of us have that luxury to blow that kind of money. So look for singles. I know the base cards are always very highly collectible. They sell in the $50 to $100 range, to even more for star players. So even the base cards are expensive. But you can find some low-end, you know, the autograph rookies you can get in that same price range, under $100. And they're usually beautiful jersey swatch, exquisite. Always puts together a good product, and this year looks like it's at least going to be interesting. With the Matt Ryans and things like that, the prices will hold on the boxes. And the no-sticker autographs, and it looks like they had some legends, some quad autos, and some things like that. Jerry Rice, Brett Favre looks like he's featured throughout the set. So, pretty interesting. If you can afford it, pop it. If not, look for singles or just drool over the YouTube videos that will surely be up on sportscardradio.com. Head over there right now if you're interested. Sign up for the fan forum that we started. Talk about football, basketball, baseball, anything you want. It's not meant to compete with the Becketts and the Trading Card Centrals. It's meant to be for the listeners of this show and people that you know, just want a little bit smaller environment. It's going to be a very small forum. We're only going to have maybe at most 10 forum topics. We'll probably keep it at what we've got now. And add them as we go along. But keep that in mind. Sign up right now if you're by the computer. Do what you got to do, because after this break, we'll be talking about getting back into collecting and more or less setting goals and, you know, kind of revisiting goals. If you've been collecting for a while, you're going to be like, oh, I could fast forward through this segment, but maybe not. We're going to be talking about resetting goals if you have already been in collecting. It all kind of goes together, and we'll be talking about that after. This.
Man, the scene was so thick. Low riders, 77 Sevilles, L Dog, nothing but them blacks. All the players, all the hustlers. I'm talking about a black man heaven here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It's beginning to look a lot like wood. Follow my every step. Take notes on how I crept. I was about to go in depth. This is the way I greet my season. Here's my ghetto rep. I kept, to say the least, no, it can't cease. So I began to piece my 2 and 2 together. Got no snowy weather. Have to find something to do better. Bet I set some traps, so shut up that. Nonsense about some solid. I got sick, crunk. If it ain't real, ain't right.
I'm like, what the season. We're going to be talking about, you know, taking a break and maybe getting back into collecting and getting into collecting the first time. Or maybe even resetting goals if you've been in collecting for a long time. It all kind of goes together. And I kind of relate it to, you know, going to high school or college. We've all done that probably, or we're all going through it right now. We've got a lot of young listeners. And, you know, your first year, you're a freshman. You don't know anybody. You don't really know anything, especially if you're in college and you're in a different city and things like that. So you're always trying hard. You're always showing up to class. You're doing your homework, doing everything that you need to do. Well, by the sophomore year, you might weed some of that out. You might realize you don't have to go to class every day. And maybe by your junior and senior year, you're taking half a day off playing Xbox all day. And maybe somewhere along the line, you should have revisited your goals that you set when you were a freshman. And the same kind of things applies when we're in cards. I think when we all get into it, we all have good intentions. We all have some kind of budget or some kind of plan. And then it all kind of goes out the window at some point, and we start buying everything that comes out, or we start wasting our money on players that have no hope. And that's okay. Really, it's not that big of a deal. It's much better doing that than getting D's and F's in your junior year and senior year in college or high school. So, you know, it could be worse. It could be doing worse things. But it's always important to go back, especially if you're getting back into collecting or you're starting collecting for the first time. But especially if you've been collecting a while and you've kind of noticed maybe your collection's getting a little disoriented, or, you know, there's not much theme to it, or you're not doing the kind of things that you used to and had success with in the past. So it's always good to go back, set some goals. I always like to set a budget. And it could be a total budget per month, per year, per card. I like to break it down per card. I've done something in the new year. I haven't bid on too many cards yet, but I'm going to wait until the baseball season actually starts, because I'm kind of a stat guy. I love watching the minor league stats and seeing who tears it up, who's doing well, because I think you can tell a lot from there, and I don't think there's a huge movement in card values, even when a guy's tearing up the minor leagues. It's not really until he gets that call-up when you really see it. I mean, we talked about Pablo Sandoval that went from AA to the majors, and it wasn't until he got to the majors, and even after that, until he got some love, and he's getting a little bit of love now. I know he's gotten a little bit of fantasy love. We'll see how he works out. He only had about a half a season last year, so it's definitely not a judgment of a man's game, but we'll see about that. But I would set a budget. I've set a budget. I want to go less than $20 a card. I don't want to spend more than $20 a card because, in my eyes, if you spend that much, there's really not too much room for it to go down. Obviously, it could go down to the worthless or dollar range. But if you have some hope in the player, if you think he's going to do well, there's not much room to go down. Is there much room to go up? Obviously, it depends on the card, and we've talked extensively about that on the show, and we should do it probably a little bit more. There's a lot to do with brands and sets and the kind of things you need to collect to make the cards go up. But basically, it has a little bit to do with tradition. If you know baseball, Bowman Chrome, things like that, those have some tradition. Obviously, we've seen Razor and things like that kind of cut into that market share, but we'll see what happens there. But set a budget on a card. I like to do it per card. Obviously, you can stretch that budget if you feel needs fit, but I wouldn't do it too many times throughout the year, throughout your little season of collecting. So set a budget. I think that's number one, especially if you've been collecting for a while. Go back and set a budget again. I think it will focus your collection quite a bit. Second thing you need to do to kind of focus in on your collection is set a theme or a desire. What do you want to do? Do you like busting boxes or cases? Do you like busting packs? Do you like just buying singles on eBay and things like that? Do you like prospects? Do you like stars? Do you like autographs, Hall of Famers, game use stuff, patches, two-color stuff? You know, whatever it might be, serial numbers, there's tons of things you can focus on, and it can always be a multiple of, you know, different things, but I would focus on maybe two or three. You know, if you like busting boxes, pick some products you like and some products that you've had some success with in the past, and stick to those products. Don't just dabble. You know, go ahead and do whatever you'd like, but if you really want to keep it really firm and really get a really good collection going, and something that I think you'll be proud of, because one, you will have set a budget and you'll set some targets and you will have maintained them, and that's always good in life. So if you like boxes, find some products, some brands, whatever it might be that you like, stick to those. If you like packs, find the packs that give you the best value for your money. You know, the $4, $5, $6 packs that don't guarantee a hit per pack, those are quite a gamble, because more often than not, if it's a 24-pack box and there's only two to four hits per box, I mean, if you're getting those kind of odds in a casino, and more often than not you are, you're literally throwing your money away. So keep that in mind. The packs that deliver a hit per pack, there's a lot in the $10 to $12 range. Those are much better, in my opinion. It'd be better to even two packs out of a pack that has 24 packs and only three hits. You're much better buying the two $12 packs that each have a hit. You're guaranteed two hits. So I like those packs better, so keep an eye on those. Singles, this is the way to go. I love single cards because you're not paying the overhead for the box and kind of the other thing. You know, if there's a Babe Ruth cut in the box set, you're paying for that every time you're buying a pack, because that card was not cheap to put together. So you're paying for that. Unless you could afford that card outright, I don't know why you would pay the premium for that. So why don't you go for the singles in the set, find the rookies and the stars and the autographs. And that's the other thing you need to, you know, kind of narrow down. Obviously, it can be a mix of your favorite players, your favorite teams, things like that. But try to narrow it down as tight as possible. Just to give myself for an example, I'm kind of a rare example. At least for baseball, it's really only prospects. I don't buy anything single cards for Hall of Famers or stars or anything like that. Not doing anything like that unless it's vintage. I don't really buy any boxes or packs unless it's just on a total whim. And I try to keep the budget low. But I do focus on my favorite team, the Giants, because obviously you follow them on a daily basis, so you know a little bit more about them. So I would work that into your own collection. Obviously, there's teams and minor league teams in your area that you follow more closely than, say, the Washington Nationals, if you live across coast like I do. I couldn't name two players on the Washington Nationals, so that's a problem, especially if I'm going to be playing fantasy baseball with you guys. But narrow it down, get your focus on. That's my recommendation. If you're taking a break and you've gotten back into collection, or you have been collecting for a long time, refocus your goals. Take the time now. If you didn't do it on January, it's kind of like those New Year's resolutions too. You know, those always last a week or two. That's why we'll be keep revisiting this topic, because I think you need to keep revisiting your goals for collecting, because 2, 3, 4 years down the line, you will write me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com, and thank me. After this very short break, we will be talking about overlooked players in the major leagues and guys that you should keep an eye on, not only if you're going to be playing fantasy baseball with us, but if you're going to be getting into collection. These are some super low value guys, some actually not so low value, but some ultimate sleepers. We'll be talking about them after this. About some overlooked players in the Major League Baseball. This will probably be a regular segment. We will be touching on players, especially throughout the fantasy season, that I think are kind of undervalued either on my team, especially, or on, I'll find some guys on other people's teams that are throwing up some big numbers, and we'll talk about those. But I got three for you now. First one, Aubrey Huff, and this is actually a guy I remember collecting some of his rookie cards back in the day, 1999, Bowman Chrome, super cheap, under $5. This guy last year batted .304 with 32 home runs and 108 RBIs for Baltimore. He's a career 287 hitter, so he had a big explosion in power last year, it looks like. He hit some home runs early in his career. He started out with the Devil Rays, and now looks like he's with Baltimore. He's had some good season. He batted .280 last year and .304, you know, in 2008. So not bad. So we'll see what happens with this guy, but extremely undervalued. Those are really good numbers. 32 home runs, 100 plus RBIs, 300 plus batting average. Those are some strong numbers. Obviously, he's an older player, with air quotes. I mean, 1999 was his rookie year, so he's not that old. But he's a little long in the tooth in terms of collecting-wise, but if you're looking for something really cheap for a, looks like a pretty solid player, he's put up some good numbers over the course of his career, hit over 300 a couple times in his career. So not a bad pickup, I would say. Again, 1999 Bowman Chrome rookie, under a couple bucks, so not a bad splurge. Next guy we've got is Ryan Ludwig for, looks like, the St. Louis Cardinals. Last year he batted right at .300, .299. He had 37 home runs. Someone check this guy's diet. He had 113 RBIs. He had never hit over 15 home runs in his career, although he played a, looks like, a full season in 2007. He played about 120 games, and he hit 14 home runs, and last year he played 152 games, so all but 10 he hit 37. Good lord. So that's quite a jump. He played only 30 more games and he hit 23 home runs. So wow, that is quite an explosion for Mr. Ludwig, but looks like his rookie year was somewhere in 2001. A lot of that stuff is under $10 or so. So you'll be able to find him very cheap for a very, if he puts up another 30 plus home run year right around 300, it's a really good year. I don't know why people wouldn't want to collect him. Last one comes from our forum, sportscardradio.com/forum. Mike DeRosa from Cubs Fan 129. Like to shout this guy out. Looks like he plays for the Cubs or maybe the Indians. I don't know. For some reason, I've got him up for the Indians here. Looks like last year for the Cubbies, he had quite a decent year. He had 21 home runs, and he batted .285. Not too bad. He had 87 RBIs, played about 150 games. Not bad. Solid production. We'll see what happens there, but it looks like his rookie cards are in the 1999 range, and they're all under $5. I saw a Bowman's Best Atomic Refractor. Those were huge. Those are usually very huge, and that went for like $3 or $4 shipped. So obviously not very well collected. We'll see what happens with this guy. He has a 279 career average. He had some decent years. Looks like with Atlanta his last 2 years. Last year was one of his best years. He had a really good year his last year in Texas. Maybe he was talking with A-Rod at that time, but he looks like he hit his most home runs last year, 21 home runs. Most before that was 13. So this guy had a little bit of a power explosion. We'll see if he can up that number. If he could get that in the 30s and then still bat 285, you'll probably see a little bit more love on his cards. So after this break, we are going to break it out with just a rundown of some players that were number 25, some of their card values, some of the things to keep an eye on for them, and we'll be talking about that after this. And some of the prices, and this has got to be one of the most low-budget versions we've done of this. So if your bankroll looks kind of like mine, you might be able to afford some of these guys. First of all, for Fred Biletnikoff, Oakland Raiders legend, looks like you can get an autographed photo for less than $10. I know this guy makes a lot of appearances for the Raiders and other things for the NFL and stuff like that. So you can find him in person and probably through the mail. If you head on over to our forums, CubsFan129 has set up an excellent through the mail, kind of addresses and email list that you can get some autographs. And even got Wayne the Great Gretzky. So if you want Wayne Gretzky's autograph, you need to head over to the fan forum. The address is there, and you'll be able to get the great one. Back to Fred Biletnikoff, excuse me, that last name's a mouthful. 1965 Topps, number 133. It looks like it's an SP. That's his rookie card. Extremely high value card. Looks like they go for $65 plus. I'm sure there's more in that set that go for a lot, but that's a pretty decent value. Looks like a pretty tough card to find in good condition, so ones that are in very nice condition will probably sell for quite a bit more for that. Mini helmets sell in the, $30 to $60 range, kind of depends. Again, you can get this guy in person, so I would look for it that way unless you're getting it on the super cheap. Next football player, we got Reggie Bush, number 25. Obviously, I think he was number 5 in college. I was really shocked when I looked at his autograph prices. I know Reggie Bush was on fire. His stuff was worth in the hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Now almost all of his autographs can be had in the $30 to $100 range. That's really unbelievable. So a lot of his rookie cards that were worth $300, $400 are selling in the $50 to $60 range now. So his autographs have taken a complete crapper. And obviously we talked about this earlier with LeBron James. That's the kind of risk you take with these high-value guys. High value, high risk. Obviously, if you spent $200-$300, even if you spent $150, $200 and got it at a good buy, you'd be hurting right now because most of his autographs are sub-75, sub-60. So very interesting. If you like to gamble, I would consider that a risky gamble, but one that could pay off because his cards did have such a high ceiling, and you will see cards get to that point. But also, Reggie has a lot of stuff. He has, obviously is free with the pen, probably gets paid a lot of money to sign his name, so he's been doing that quite a bit. Last one, finally a baseball player. I don't know if we've ever covered a baseball player on these things. Jim Thome, maybe a Hall of Famer, maybe not. He's got a lot of home runs, obviously. We'll see what happens with all those guys wrapped up in that era. We'll see what they think of Jim. His rookie is the 1991 Bowman. Very interesting set. I like that set a lot. It's like 10 million cards. Looks like you can get a PSA 10 for in the $10 range, $10, $12 range. So I would just go for that if you're a fan of Jim Thome and you want his best rookie. Get the best grade, 91 Bowman, PSA 10, BGS 9.5. Should be able to get it for less than $15. And his autographs, not surprising, in the $10 to $30 range, kind of depending if it had a jersey on it or whatnot, how many serial numbered it was out of. Not too surprising. Well, that's obviously, I think, a floor for him. I don't see those going too much lower. Same with this Bowman PSA 10 rookie for in the, you know, less than $20. That's got to be a record. Those got to be record lows for him. I don't see them being much lower, so it's a fairly safe investment, especially if he makes that Hall of Fame, if he can avoid all this other stuff everybody's involved in. Maybe he'll be able to make it, so we'll see. That's a fairly, that's a little bit less risky than I would even say Reggie Bush. And our safest bet is probably Freddie B, because he's already done, he's retired, and maybe Al Davis will croak it off, and Blinnikoff will get a job with the Raiders. I don't know, we'll see what happens, but that about wraps it up for today's show. Again, head over to sportscardradio.com. Check out all the cool stuff we've got going on there. Check out the fan forum. I will be deeply hurt if you do not at least sign up for our fan forum. And if you're into that kind of thing, post away. Have some fun. Do what you need to do. We're out of here. That wraps it up. We'll be back fairly shortly. Talk about a lot of new releases in the beginning of March. But until then, get your baseball ready. There's a fantasy baseball league you need to sign up for. You know how to do it. Get on over to the fan forum, sportscardradio.com. sportscardshow@gmail.com is our email address. And I will be talking to you guys later. Have a good weekend. I'm out of here.